Audio on demand from Vision Christian Media.
People in hell suffer. That's what happens to the non-believer. They don't go to purgatory. There is no purgatory. They don't go into soul sleep, nor are they reincarnated. Some believe in that. People in hell suffer.
But that suffering is avoidable. Pastor Greg Laurie points out that God wants us to spend eternity in His presence, not in a place devoid of His presence.
He doesn't want you to go to this place. He has a better plan for you. It's called heaven.
This is the day when the lost are found. This is the day for a new beginning. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound. Again you hear all the angels are singing. This is the day when life begins.
Hell has been sensationalized and trivialized by Hollywood, which gives it a mythical quality. We see it satirized and even romanticized in everything from cartoons to feature films. But today, on A New Beginning, Pastor Greg Laurie points out that hell is real. Hell is far worse than we can imagine. And the Bible has a prescription for avoiding that place of judgment. It's quite literally life and death insight.
The afterlife. People have so many questions about what happens after death, and that's what we're going to talk about today. And so I want you to grab your Bible and turn to Luke chapter 16. Luke chapter 16. The title of my message is a hellfire and brimstone message. Are you glad you came to church today? We're going to see what Jesus said about hell. And this, by the way, is not a parable. Jesus would often tell parables, which were effectively illustrations. A parable is an earthly story with a spiritual meaning. This is not a parable. Why? Because he speaks of a certain man, as we'll read in a moment. And he also identifies a man by name Lazarus. Not the same Lazarus that was raised from the dead by Christ. The man Lazarus is in this story. So let's read now about it. What happens after death for a non-believer and for a believer prior to the death and resurrection of Christ. Luke 16, starting in verse 19. Jesus said there was a certain rich man who was clothed in purple and fine linen and fared sumptuously every day. But there was a certain beggar named Lazarus, full of sores, who was laid at his gate, desiring to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked the sores. And so it was that the beggar died and was carried by the angels to Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried. And being in torment in Hades, he lifted up his eyes and saw Abraham afar off and Lazarus in his bosom. And he cried out, "Father Abraham, have mercy on me. Send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I'm tormented in this flame." But Abraham said, "Son, remember that in your lifetime you received your good things, and likewise Lazarus' evil things. He is now comforted. You are tormented. And besides all this, between us there is a great gulf fixed, so that those who want to pass from here to you cannot, nor can those from there pass to us." Then he said, "I beg you therefore, Father, that you would send him to my father's house, for I have five brothers, that he may testify to them, that they may not come to this place of torment." Abraham said, "They have Moses and the prophets. Let them hear them." He said, "No, Father Abraham, but if one goes to them from the dead, they will repent." And he said, "If they do not hear Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded, though one rise from the dead." So here we have a believer and a non-believer entering the afterlife. We have the believer who goes into this place of comfort, but this non-believer into this place of torment. Now, this non-believer is called the rich man, but his sin was not having riches. It was that he was greedy and materialistic and godless. He had no place for God in his life. Verse 19 says, he fared sumptuously and he was clothed in purple and fine linen. What does that mean? Well, purple was the color of royalty in this day. It was a lot of extra work and money to have a garment dyed purple. So if you possessed anything that was purple, you were considered a very wealthy person. Faring sumptuously simply means that he had banquets and feasts every single day. He had big parties. It was a nonstop party for this guy. If he was alive today, you know, he'd be posting photos of himself on Instagram, lying on piles of money. He didn't just have it. It had him, and he was flaunting it. This man was obsessed with himself. He had no concern for spiritual things. Now he's sent to this place of judgment, reminding us of a few things. And if you're taking notes, you might write this down. People in hell suffer. People in hell suffer. This rich man speaks of his torment, indicating that suffering is a very real thing in the afterlife. The word torment is used 4 times in the text of this story. That's what happens to the non-believer. They don't go to purgatory. There is no purgatory. They don't go into soul sleep, like a really long nap, though that sounds appealing to some, I'm sure. Nor are they reincarnated. Some believe in that. That's a belief of Buddhists today. The Dalai Lama was quoted saying that he'll be reincarnated later, because the Dalai Lama has been around for 600 years, they say, just reincarnated in different people. And the Dalai Lama said, next time when the Dalai Lama comes, it'll probably be a girl. He said this, I'm not making this up, a blonde girl who will be mischievous, but her face must be attractive so people will listen to her. Hello, Dolly. Hello, Dolly. Okay, forget it. Hello, Dolly. Let me say this. The problem with a blonde girl becoming the Dalai Lama, she wouldn't even know, you know. I'm all like, I don't know, I'm blonde, okay? Oh, relax. By the way, I was blonde once. Or so I'm told, I'm not sure. There is no reincarnation of the Dalai Lama or anybody else. Again, it's appointed unto a man once to die, and after this comes the judgment.
We're learning some things today about hell from the pages of Scripture, and that hell is real. It's not an imaginary place. And Pastor Greg Laurie's first point is that people in hell suffer.
Number 2, once you're in hell, you cannot cross over to heaven. Once you are in hell, you cannot cross over to heaven. Sometimes people think, well, I'll sort this all out later. No, you won't actually. Because once you die, then comes the judgment. That would be like being on a flight to, say, Chicago. And, you know, and then you hear the pilot say, ladies and gentlemen, we just got a report from the ground, and it's just horrible weather. And you know, it's 20 below. You're like, oh man, I don't want to go to Chicago or wherever you're going. I want to go to Hawaii. I want to go to Hawaii. You stand up, too bad. You're going to have to land. You can't change mid-flight. You have to talk to your travel agent ahead of time. In the same way, once we're gone, once we pass from this body, we can't say, oh, I don't like this. I don't want to be. No, it's too late, you see. So once you're there, you can't come back. Number 3, you're conscious in hell and fully aware of where you are. Again, you're conscious in hell and fully aware of where you are. This man mentions his brothers. Listen, just as there is memory in heaven, there is also memory in hell. This guy says in verse 28, I have 5 brothers. Someone needs to testify to them so they won't come to this place of torment. Now, this was not a gesture of compassion as much as it was blame shifting. This guy in hell is angry at God. Hey, he says, I didn't know about this place, nor do my brothers. He just wants to be a little bit less miserable, asking for a little bit of water, but he's not repentant. And Abraham puts him in his place, verse 29. They have Moses and the prophets. Let them hear them. They have the message. They can respond. Notice this guy's not partying in hell. There are no parties in hell. It's separation, as I already said. Well, what if someone comes back from the dead? Then they will repent. You know, sometimes people have these near-death experiences. It seems like they always write a book about it. Sometimes they're even made into movies. And they'll talk about seeing a great light even though I didn't believe in God, I saw a great light and I felt a great peace. Hold on now. Is it possible that Satan, once an angel of light, could appear to a person and mislead them? Or is it possible that person is making that up altogether? Listen, I'm going to go with the Bible on this one, and I'm going to go with the Bible on everything else, and that is not what happens. If you're not a believer, there's not a great light, and there's not a great peace. There is eternal separation from God. Did you say, Greg, this is like the most depressing message you've ever given? I came to hear good news today. Excuse me. But isn't it good news to know as a Christian, I'm not going to hell? That's pretty good news. Is there any news that's better than that? How many of you believe in Jesus Christ? Raise your hand. I can tell you in the authority of God's word, you're going to heaven, you're not going to hell. That's good news. So we should celebrate. I think we should have two reactions to a message like this. Number one, man, I'm sure glad I'm not going there. And number two, man, I sure want to make sure that no one I know goes there either. And I want to do everything I can to warn people and to reach people so they don't face this place of future judgment. Because when it's all said and done, hell is a prison in which the doors are first locked from the inside by us and therefore are locked from the outside by God. He doesn't want you to go to this place. He has a better plan for you. It's called heaven. And Jesus effectively faced hell for you when he died on the cross 2,000 years ago. Remember, one of his statements from Calvary was, my God, why have you forsaken me? Why did Jesus say that? Because at that moment, it is believed by many scholars that all the sin of the world was placed upon him who knew no sin. And he was simply describing the reality of it. My God, why have you forsaken me? But listen to this. Jesus was forsaken so you can be forgiven. Jesus entered the darkness so you can walk in the light. He did that for you. You don't have to face this judgment if you don't want to. But if you're going to just go in your merry way and live the way you want to live with all of your excuses, this is your future destiny. The road to hell is paved with excuses. Well, this doesn't apply to me. Well, I don't agree with you. Well, you're wrong. Whatever. Guess what? Your disagreement is with God, not with me. And more to the point, your disagreement is with Jesus Christ himself. He's the one that told us this story. He's the one that gives us this warning. We don't want you to go to this place. Would you like to change your eternal address right now? You can do it. You say, but how? By taking the gift of God, which is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Jesus said, for God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten son, and whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. You see, if you will believe in God's Son, if you will turn from your sin and ask Christ to be your Savior, he will give you the hope of heaven so you can know your future is secure. You won't perish, but you'll have everlasting life. Broad is the way that leads to destruction. And many there are that go that way, says our Lord. But narrow is the way that leads to life, and few there are that find it. You're on one of two roads today. You're on the broad way that leads to judgment, or you're on the narrow way that leads to life. Which road are you on? If you're on the wrong road, time to hang a U-E, a U-turn. That'd be a good definition of repenting. The Bible says, repent and be converted. To repent means to change your direction in life. It means to be sorry for your sin, but sorry enough to stop. For the Bible says, godly sorrow produces repentance. So if you're really sorry, you'll turn around. See, this guy in our story, he was sorry, but he was just sorry for the consequences. Don't wait till then. Be sorry for your sin now, and God will forgive you and give you the hope of heaven. We're going to close now in prayer. For some of you, that's the best thing I've said all day. We're going to close now. Yes, this message is over. But the issue is still on the table and will be for every person. And if you've not put your faith in Jesus Christ yet, Do it now so you can know you will go to heaven when you die. Let's pray. Father, I pray for every person here, every person listening to this message. If they don't know you in a personal way, help them to get right with you now. We pray that your Holy Spirit will convict and convince them of their sin and that they will believe. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
You're listening to A New Beginning with Pastor Greg Laurie. And if you'd like to follow through and know Jesus personally, Pastor Greg would like to help you, to pray with you right now.
If you would like to accept Jesus Christ into your life right now, and by that I mean if you would like your sin forgiven and have the assurance that you will go to heaven when you die, would you pray this prayer with me? Lord Jesus, I know that I'm a sinner, but I thank you for dying on the cross for my sin and rising again from the dead. I'm sorry for my sin, Lord, and I turn from it now, and I put my faith in you to be my Savior, my Lord, my God, and my friend. Thank you for loving me and calling me and accepting me. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Listen, if you just prayed that prayer in a minute, I want you to know on the authority of God's word that Jesus Christ has just come to take residence in your heart. The Bible says, these things we write to you that believe in the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life. Listen, we want to send you some resources that will help you grow spiritually. So here's Dave with some details. And let me say, God bless you and welcome to the family of God.
Thanks, Pastor Greg. And if you've just prayed those words, the Lord has heard you and forgiven you of your sin. The Bible says that Jesus is faithful and just to forgive us of our sin and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And we'd like to send you some materials to help you begin this new life. We call it our New Believers Growth Packet. Just ask for it when you call 1-800-00-50-11. Well, that's all we have time for today. I hope you can join us again tomorrow for some more solid, biblically-based teaching with Pastor Greg Laurie. Now, for a copy of Pastor Greg's full message from today, get in touch with Vision Christian Store. It was called Hellfire and Brimstone. Just go to visionstore.org.au or call 1-800-00-50-11. Station sponsor.
Thanks for taking time to listen to this audio on demand from Vision Christian Media. To find out more about us, go to vision.org.au.